Well, again, happy Father's Day. Before I start, I want to just thank Stella and Pastor Chris. Wasn't that so great when you have that naan bread for communion? Doesn't it beat that oyster cracker? Okay. Take a bowl, but thank you very much. It's almost like you want to like say, that was so good. But anyway, good morning and happy Father's Day to all. And I see spiritual fathers here in the sanctuary and those online. What a privilege it is and an honor to be a father. Amen. There's nothing like being a father, but it's nothing like having our Heavenly Father. Amen. It's so great to see everyone here. You took time to come to church. Amen. So good. You know, just as God, our Heavenly Father, shared His love to us by sending His Son for each and every one of us, we too, as fathers, can share that same Christ-like love to our children. Amen. This one, I wanted just for us to consider the importance of that word father. You see it throughout the whole Bible, the word father. God uses that word to describe Himself. A father and His relationship with each and every one of us. He calls us His children, and we can call Him His Father, our Father. Take example of what it says in Psalms 103:13. It says, "The Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who fear Him." That's the key right there. We can call Him Father, but we have to fear Him. And that doesn't mean, as we're learning in today's Bible study today, fear is not being afraid of Him. Because if that's the kind of fear that you have to our Father, that means that it's like Adam when they and Eve sinned. What did they do? They hid. That's the kind of fear that draws us away. But the kind of fear that it's saying here, compassionate to those who fear Him, is the kind of fear that draws us to Him. Amen? There's a big difference. So that's the fear that He has, that we can call Him fathers. How about Proverbs 3:12? I love this scripture. "For the Lord corrects those He loves." Don't let no one say about, well, I'm not getting to spank you. It's a whole different generation now that when it comes to. "Just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights." He corrects us. Why? He loves us. That's the same thing we do for our children. It's not being abusive. It's because we love them. We don't want them to put their hand on that stove again because it'll burn them. We got to correct them. Isaiah has another thing that talks about the Father. 64, verse 8, it says, "And yet, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay, and You are the potter. We are all formed by Your hands." God is forming each and every one of us. He's still forming each and every one of us into what He wants us to be, that beautiful pot that we are trying to attain. But He's still forming us. I would like to first, I've never done this before, but I'd like to talk a little bit about myself. Wait. Let me word that again. That's not true. I do talk a lot about myself. Well, I say, you talk too much about yourself. But just let me tell a little history about myself. I got married when I was 21. You know, you got to watch it. When you're up, you got to watch what you say. I mean, but I was 21 when I got married to my wife, Pastor Deborah. We've been married for 42 years. Amen. And that's not 42 years of splendor. We've had our ups and downs. But we have a son and a daughter who has given us 4 grandchildren. And with one on the way. Amen. For number 5, my daughter's going to give birth in September. So How great is that? I see here there's fathers, there's grandfathers. I see a great-great-grandfather back there. There's so much wisdom here when it comes to fathers. My wife and I, we made a lot of mistakes as we reared our children, but we also did a lot of things right. But however, one thing that we lacked in our early parenting years was godly guidance. I thank God each and every one of you, moms and dads here today, are here for a reason. Why? Because we want to provide godly guidance to our children. Amen? I worked hard to be a provider. At one point, I was working three jobs. I got this work ethic from my dad because my dad was a workaholic. And one thing that my children didn't get from me as a dad was I really hugged them. And I think it's like the sins of the father, the Bible says, because my father really hugged us. So I thank God that I have broken that generation curse that we always hug all our children and our grandchildren every single time. Amen? And one thing I wish I got from my dad that I'm still working on, my dad was a very patient man. And I'm working on patience. Amen? And I know my wife, I heard her laugh. She knows that I'm really working. And one thing my dad was, he was a tool and die specialist. And what that is he would create amazing things with metal. Because my grandfather owned a metal company. And my dad created amazing things. In fact, when we were small, he created a whole exercise gym in our house. He made dumbbells. He made a squat rack. He made a dumbbell rack, a dip rack, chin-up bars, bench. Everything you see in a gym, my dad created out of metal. Even the weights. My dad made his own weights. It was amazing, but that's what he was. He was a tool. But one thing my dad didn't do, he didn't teach me any of those things. But one thing I guess God created in me was I was watching always the things that he does. And that created in me, and I grew up with this kind of I can do that attitude. And I thank God because my son, even though I didn't do that to my son, he has the same can-do attitude too that he tells me all the time, Dad, just look at it, YouTube. You can make anything on YouTube, which is kind of true, not always true. But my dad and I were the best dads that we could be at that time. And we're still getting to be that better dad to this day. Amen? We never have reached this point yet. Amen? So I would like to share with you how a powerful influence of a father-like figure helped me to shape my teenage years. Right out of high school from, 1979. I forgot when I graduated. 1979, most of you weren't even alive, to 2003, I worked at Citibank. And there was a man by the name of Billy Suraoka. And Billy Suraoka, he was one of the, and a lot of you, even probably Prince is not one of these, but he was a foreman at one of the biggest construction companies, but he was a grouchy guy. He was a grouchy guy. But one thing he did, he taught me everything I know to this day when it comes to plumbing, when it comes to electrical, when it came to reading blueprints and working with contractors, because that was our department, general service. So we took care of everything in the bank. And he took me under his wings and taught me all those things which I can know today. I can fix a toilet now. To an extent, I can do it. If not, I call Prince. I need help. But other than that, he taught me all the things I know to this day. And one thing about him, every time I did something wrong, he was always there to show me what I did wrong and show me how to correct what I did wrong. And when I did things right, he was always there to give me a pat on my back. And I just thank God that I am who I am today because of what Billy Suraoka did when I was working at a bank a long time, almost 30 years ago. So His influence made a difference in my life. He shared such valuable life skills with me that it will last for me a lifetime, that now I can share those things with the next generation. And each and every one of you can be an influencer, amen? So today, I'm going to share a few things. This message is going to be something about what me and my wife went to, what I've learned, and what we have found out works. So these are the things that we struggled with as a young parent. However, the one good thing, coming to know the Lord, helped me to be a better father and a better husband to my family. And I'm going to share what I've learned from these struggles, and I'm still learning to this day, amen? So today I'm only speaking with the fathers. If I say us, we, I'm talking about fathers. So mothers, I'm sorry, I'm not talking about you, but these things can also pertain to you, amen? So the one thing I learned is you need to lead by example. That is so important. If I knew all these things way back then, oh my God. But one thing, like we always say, I wish we had a time machine, but there's no time machines. So do you know that children learn more by observing than being told? Amen. Man, I was really blinded back then. I didn't even realize that. The fact of the matter is that children learn from what they live. They follow your example. That is what Jesus did throughout his ministry. When you look at Jesus' ministry, Jesus led by example. And I was thinking, there's so much examples he led by. And I was thinking, which one would be so great to share today? And it was when he washes his disciples' feet. I want to just think back there, just picture, this is a scene where Jesus is just about ready to get crucified the night before. And rather than thinking about himself, because he knows what he's going to go through, it's going to be horrific. But rather than thinking about himself, what he does is he comes as a lowly servant and he washes his disciples' feet. And in the beginning, he says, no, you cannot wash my feet, Lord. But he says, this is what he says. He says, you call me Lord, you call me master, you call me teacher. I am setting an example for you that you will follow. So what he does, he's coming as a humble servant. Something back then, when someone washed your feet, there would be like the lowly of lowlies coming down to wash people's feet. But Jesus said he took everything off of himself, even though what he knew was coming, and focuses on his disciples. And at the end, he says, I've given you an example to do as I did for you, and you will be blessed if you do them. Amen? So when we follow Jesus' example, he says we'll be blessed. And this example, as parents, teaches us we got to humble ourselves. And I wish I knew this because I was very, and not be demanding over our children. So every time I see all these things, just think of me doing all the opposite, because everything I'm telling you, I did everything opposite. So these are the things that I said, you know what? These are such important things. I want to focus on these five or six things today that can really help parents to be a better parent. Amen? And the title of my message is The Father's Influence. So each and every one of us has this part to play. And what it teaches us is to do the things, we do things out of love, thinking less of you and more of them. Just remember that. I never could think that way before. It was all about more of me and none of you. But this is what it is. It's thinking less of us as Jesus humbled himself and thinking more of our children. We can demonstrate our faith through actions and words. That is so important. Modeling a life of integrity and obedience to God, showing that when we show those things, we show our children how to live a life of obedience by our actions. Because we know the saying, actions speaks louder than words. Amen? When we act, when we are actively involved in worship, prayer, Bible study, we set an example of having a personal relationship with God to our children. This is what it says in 1 Timothy 4:12. Be an example to all the believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, and your faith, and your purity. An important thing that we can give to our children is an example to follow a life that reflects the values of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So that was the first thing, setting an example. Another thing I learned is, this is a big one for workaholics, is spending quality time. Spending quality. Jesus understood. You think of Jesus, how long he was on this earth. Jesus understood the value and the importance of time and how to use it in a way that aligns with God's purposes. Because that's all what Jesus came when he was there. He was just doing everything according to God's purpose for him. And this, listen to what Jesus says in John 9:4. He says, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. So time is short. I remember saying one time, I wish I had more time to spend with my family. And then I remember someone was told me, well, but if you had more time, you would find ways to waste it. I don't know if anybody has ever told you that, but we know that there are only 24 hours in a day. But how many of us say, man, I wish there was 30 hours in a day or whatever. This guy was wisdom, I think it was. He said, you know what? If there was more, God gave you more time, you would find ways to waste it, which I truly believe is true. I think that's a good spiritual message to wake me up. I didn't realize it back then, but now I realize what he was saying now. This is what making time for family is so important. Making time for family is so, so, so important. By dedicating time to them, it shows them that you value and love them. I tell my daughter all the time that her children will know how much she cares for them, not by all these expensive gifts you buy them. All those things, it just fade away. But how much time you spend with them. That is so important. I always tell her that. Because my daughter likes to buy great, she thinks that great gifts would make them happy, which it kind of does, but what makes them even happier and know that you love them is spending time. Because time cannot compare to possessions. I don't care what you say, you can have the best car, the best everything, but time can never be relived. Amen. I wish, there's so many times that I wish, that's a I wish for me. I wish I did this with my son. I wish I did this. I wish. There's no I wishes. It's you got to spend quality time. This is one of the biggest thing when it comes to time. Set boundaries between work and family. That is so, so, so important. Dedicate specific times to the family and stick to those times. And quality time means giving them your undivided attention. Because when you think about it, a lot of us who have grandchildren, time is so short. You all say, wow, where has time gone? Before you know it, your children are married and living on their own already. So make the best of time. Ephesians 5:15. I love this. Ephesians 5:15-16 says, so then, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. And you know what that means to me? Make the most of your time because the days are evil. The one thing that the devil likes to do when it comes to time is make you busy. Keeping us busy keeps us having quality time with our family. And that's a tool that Satan uses a lot of time. Because we all work, we all have to make a living, we all have to provide. But there's some times that the enemy makes us so busy that we don't have time to make for our children, for our family. Amen. Modeling kindness, repentance, and forgiveness is so, so important. Listen to this. Children learn by observing, as I was saying earlier. So engage in acts of kindness in our interactions with others and with our children. That is so, so important. When we make mistakes or we are wrong, we must offer a sincere apology. Man, let me say that again. Offer a sincere apology. So many times I would hear from my wife, "You didn't mean it." I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I'm sorry." Does that sound like I'm sorry? You know, so man, sometimes we get that macho. When we say sorry, well, you've heard it before. You didn't mean it. Make sure our apologies are sincere. By doing this, we are demonstrating humility to our children. It helps our children to feel more comfortable in admitting their own mistakes later. Amen? So our influences have such a big part to play in our children. We need to help our children understand how repentance and forgiveness are so important in having a healthy relationship with people and God. God's mercy and grace allowed a sinner like me and like you to repent of our sins and ask for forgiveness, knowing that he has forgiven us. And if we have been forgiven, the Bible says we must forgive others. That's what it says in Matthew 6:14. It says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But, there's always that but, if you refuse to forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive you your sins. So don't allow unforgiveness to stop God from forgiving you of your sins. Amen. Unforgiveness. This is a big one. Encourage your children. Our children love to be encouraged. But too often, and I've done this so many times in my early days, too often we tell our children everything that they're doing wrong. And one thing, I made a mistake, and I tell you never to do this ever, never call your children stupid. Never. Listen to how King David encouraged his son Solomon. 1 Chronicles 28:10, he says, consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house as the sanctuary. Be strong and do the work. How much more can you encourage someone by saying the Lord has chosen you? That's what David said to Solomon, to encourage him. Because encouraging words are so powerful. It boosts confidence, self-esteem. It can ignite desires to pursue dreams. That's how strong encouragements are. Imagine what those encouraging words did for Solomon. As you read the Bible, Solomon built this elaborate temple where the Ark of the Covenant, where God's presence dwelled. So be an encourager and see what God can do to the ones you encourage. Amen. A quick thing, my son was encouraged at a very young age to pursue his dreams. He was probably in elementary school, 5 years old. My wife was telling, you've heard it before. His dream was becoming a pilot. And he was always so amazed how the planes can stay up in the air. As, you know, I kind of have a fear when it comes to planes. Every time I'm in a plane, I don't know if you guys do that, I always look outside and look at the wings. I said, I hope these wings don't come off this plane while I'm on this plane. I know that's something so bad to think, but that's how my mind thinks. But My son was always encouraged at a young age. And thank God, through encouragement, my son was able to follow his dreams of becoming a pilot. Amen. That's why encouraging words are so, so powerful. Because you see it all throughout the Bible. Another thing that you see throughout the Bible is equip and train our children. You see Jesus equipping and training disciples. But not just equipping and training, but we got to equip and train our children properly. Because we can equip and train them all in the wrong ways, but equip and train them properly. Think of how the military, I know there's people here have been in the military. The military trains their soldier and equips their soldiers. We must do the same for our children. They provide their soldiers with weapons. They train them in how to use those weapons. And what those weapons do with the soldiers is they're able to combat and beat the enemy. It's the same thing when we train our children with the weapons. And these weapons aren't physical weapons. Not weapons like guns and stuff like that. I'm talking about the word of God. That's the gospel gun. Amen. Prayer, faith, obedience, love. These are the things that we equip and train our children. So when we properly train them, they will use those weapons and they will defeat the enemy every time if they are properly trained. Amen. That's what it says. Listen to what 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is used to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. That's how God's word is. So it corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. You know, that's one thing I used to tell all the young recruits coming into the police department, because you hear so much things that police do wrong. I said, just do what's right and you would never have to worry, because God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. And that's what God's word does for each. It corrects, it teaches, it trains for us to do every good work. Every good work. I just love that. Do you know what is, you know what's lacking? I asked my grandchildren, you know what's lacking in our schools today? I think some of you who maybe are in the 80s or not, before, high schools used to have classes like these life application classes. I remember I had to go in a class that had sewing. I couldn't believe it. So back then, I was so bad. A guy going to sew. But we used to have classes like home economics. I don't know if they have that now. Wood shop, auto mechanics. You know, for auto mechanics, you got to go to college. But a lot of times in high school, does HBA have auto mechanics and wood shop? No. Those are the things, those life skills are so lacking. Today I'm speaking to everyone when I just talk about this and those online. It would be so powerful if you would share life skills with our teenagers here at the church. Everyone has a skill here, everyone. It'd be so powerful. I was 24 years at the bank. It'd be so powerful if someone in banking would show our teenagers what it is to open a bank account, or how it is to keep your checkbook balanced. These are such, or those in auto mechanics, how to change the oil in your car, or how to change a flat tire. Those are such useful things. In fact, I bet there's some here that may not even know how to change a flat tire, let alone know what a spare tire is in your car. I remember before, I used to have to help while I was a police, I had to help people with their flat tires on the road, and they would say, "Officer, I don't know where my spare tire is." I say, "All right, if you just look in your trunk, it's there." But anyway, but you'd be surprised, because these life skills are not there anymore. So it'd be so important if each and every one of us could sow into the next generation with the skills that you have. Just come up to myself or Pastor Deborah. We'll talk to Rafa. We'll set up a time when you can go up to our teenagers and teach them whatever it is, construction, banking, whatever it is, fishing, whatever. There's a whole plethora of everything that I see when I look around this church of wisdom and knowledge for everyone here. Amen. Another one is publicly affirming our children. Affirmations like, great job, well done. These words didn't even come out of my mouth back then. You tried your best. Oh man, I wish I knew that word back then. I love you. A powerful tools that can make our children feel good about themselves. I learned that repeating positive statements can overcome negative thoughts, boost confidence, and motivate them to achieve goals. Thank God that God had his hand on my children. Even in this area, I didn't do, but God had his hand on my children, and I thank God where my children are today. It's only by the grace of God, amen. Now listen how the greatest father of all time publicly affirms his son. And this is found in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It says, after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. What positive affirmation word can the heavenly of fathers tell his son? He said, this is my son. When we do that to our children, you are my son. We are affirming that we love you. You are my son. You are my daughter, whom I love and whom I am well pleased. You know, prior to that, if you look in the Bible, Jesus' ministry was non-existent before that positive public affirmation that his father gave him. But after he came out of that water, his ministry took off. And we read about the miracles. We're reading about feeding the 5,000. Turning wine. It's just amazing things. Healing the blind, the crippled, the lame. Just amazing. All it took was positive affirmation from his dad. Same thing what we do to our children. Amen. Doesn't it feel good when someone praises you? Don't we feel good when someone praises us? You know the reason why that is? It's because God created you in his image, and he loves when he's praised. I think it's Psalms 117. It says, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great towards you. Great towards you. But the truth of the endure for it, praise ye the Lord. Go something like that. I might add a couple of extra words, but it's read that 117. So it's a praise scripture. What God wants us is to praise him. Amen. I have two more things. Position your children for success. We position our children for success by providing a stable and loving home, environment, and instilling godly values. These are just some things. The Bible says that children are like arrows in a warrior's hand. Just think that your children are like an arrow in a warrior's hand. A warrior positions and aims his arrow to hit the target. So we as mom, dad, parents, as we position and aim our children like these arrows, it will cause them to hit the target and the target of success. But let me just It's not success. When I say success, I'm not talking about money. Listen to what the dictionary calls this meaning of success. It says success means the accomplishment of an aim or purpose. That's what we do to our children. We position them properly and aim them. They will hit the target of success. And that success can only come through Jesus Christ. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. There is no other way for success. Most of us were successful in whatever you did in life and are still doing. But sharing Christ to our children helps to position them for success in the future. Amen. Take this. This is the verse prior to Brother Jeff's favorite scripture. Take heart in what this says. This is found in Joshua 1:8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Amen. But it all starts with this book, God's word, shall not depart out from our mouth. Amen. And we have to meditate on it day and night. There's always conditions. There's blessings, but before the blessing, there's conditions that we have to meet. And finally, as I come to an end, be an influencer. Each and every one of us, moms, dads, women, men, be an influencer to our children, to the next generation. It is so important. Just like how Christ was an influencer while he was on this earth for 30-something years, we too can be an influencer to our children. Here I see grandchildren, and even there's some great-grandchildren here. Amen? Because what that does, it provides a foundation for a life of faith, spiritual growth, and a strong sense of purpose in life. Fathers, that's what we have. So important to do is be an influencer to our children. It equips our children with wisdom, character, and values needed to navigate life's challenges. Because life is challenging, as we can see how our world is right now. It's challenging. There's a lot of things, a lot of turmoil going on. It also helps them to make good choices and live a life that honors God. As parents, that's the greatest thing that we can have for our children, if they live a life that honors God. Amen. And if they still are not, we still have our job as an influencer to try to get them back onto that path. I'm praying for my daughter to get back. She was on that path before, but she strayed. And we have family members who were on the path before, but how the world kind of allowed them to stray. We as influencers, parents, spiritual parents, have that duty to get them back into alignment and honor God. Amen. By raising children in the ways of the Lord, we're not only impacting our children, but also potentially influencing generations to come. Amen. And that's why I feel so great that even though I failed so much as a young parent, young father, I now have such great joy that I can now impact children and my grandchildren and potentially influencing generations to come. I thank God for his mercy allowing me to do that. Amen. And each and every one of us here, even those who have failed before, you have that the potential of influencing our next generation. This is because children who are raised with godly principles are more likely to pass them on to their own children, creating a godly legacy. Amen. So keep God is keeping us responsible for the lives of our children. Don't let him down. Amen. In closing, I want to read Psalms 128. It says, "Blessed are all who fear the Lord." There's that thing again. Fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Yes. Yes. This will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. There it is again. The man who fears the Lord. That is so important. I wish you guys come to our Bible studies. We're talking about the fear of the Lord. How the fear of the Lord. If you don't fear the Lord, what the lesson is teaching us, you're not saved. So if you say you're saved today, you got to fear God. Amen. The Bible says that in Isaiah 33:6, I believe. It talks about this firm foundation. When it comes to fearing the Lord, it's a foundation of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. It goes on to say, "May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see," and this is the best verse, "may you live to see your children's children." Amen. Each of Michael and Christiana, I mean, they're a young couple. But their thing is to see their children. Each of we have Brother Jeff, Pastor John, myself. Pastor Chris, we want to see our children's children. I want to see my grandchildren, not too soon, but to have children. That's the heart of a parent, to see our children's children. Amen. That is why, I'm going to go back again. I'm done with my message. That is why it's so important, this Fit Church. I'm going to end with that. Because we want to see our children. How many knows that the Bible says that we want to be spiritually fit? Amen? But also, the enemy doesn't want us to be physically fit. Because why? That way we're not going to be able to see our children. So sign up for Fit Church. It's so important. Because why? We want to see our children. And being fit is important. I know the Bible says exercise profited little, but I'm saying it profits a lot because we want to be healthy. We want to see our children. Amen? Can we all stand? I'm going to close this with prayer, but after I do that, I want all the men to come up. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for allowing my errors as a young father, and your mercy and grace and allowing me as I gave my heart to you to change the way I bring up my children. I thank you that I'm able to share my wrongs and you making them right to our fathers and parents here today, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, but we can't do any of this as influencers, as parents, as mothers and fathers, if you are not in it. Lord, you have to be the head of everything. Just like how the father is the head of the house, you are the head of it all, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that you continue to help us as fathers, Lord, to bring up our children in the way that they should be brought up properly. Because in the end, as they get older, they shall not depart. But I thank you, continue to allow your Holy Spirit to grant us fathers and put those around us, help us as we raise the next generation and each and everyone here to be a part of the next generation. We just thank you, Lord. We just give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. And we all said, amen. Amen. God bless you.